Yo, what is up, Gen Nation? Twitch, YouTube, podcasts, everybody listening, everybody watching, wherever that may be. What is good? We're a couple days late on this episode. I apologize. This weekend was a little hectic, but it's not episode 17. We are actually on episode 18. Do a quick change and boom, good. Gucci. This is the Multiversal Podcast. This is episode 18. We got a lot to talk about today, and we're gonna kick it off with the gaming verse. But before we do, as always, we have the show on all podcast networks. We have on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, etc. So search the GGE network in whatever platform or app you use and you will find us. We appreciate you listening. We see you out there. And yeah, we'll keep giving you that content. And with that being said, we do have merch available. If I can pull it up, there it is. We have shirts, we have hoodies, we have cups, we have limited edition train wreck shirts available. So if you've been following along with GGen from the jump, we are a goddamn train wreck, and we finally have those shirts available. They are on our merch store. The link will be in the description. If you're watching live on Twitch, hit that command merch. And yeah, train wreck shirts are mint. I just seen Spartacris. He just bought one and I saw it. I saw a picture of it. And let me tell you, they look dope. So I highly recommend. Also, if you're following along on our ultimate trivia challenge brought to you by the captain himself, we just got done. If you were watching previously on YouTube, we just aired the final episode of round of 16, the knockout round, as you will. Shout out to the World Cup and USA for actually making it there and fizzling out. But we have a shirt titled Macintosh Mercado. So if you've been following along, you know, it is just a running joke with one of the contestants. We have that shirt available for a limited time as well. And enough of the sponsored crap by ourselves. It's plenty of time for that. Let's get into this episode. Let's say hi to the people watching. We got Mr. Buttersworth and Fly Life. Fly Life says, I need a cup. You definitely do. Telling you, man, that train wreck shirt is fire. You get the one that's a jersey. Woo! They are dope. But Mr. Buzzword says, what up, Scythe? And what up, dude? Actually, I need to. Un momentos, guys. Un momentos. A phone call and I missed it. Oh well, such is life. And we'll continue on. All right, so let's get to the first topic. We are in the gaming verse, and December 28th is the Game Awards. Now, if you've been paying attention to this podcast and maybe even some of my streams, if I have them, because my capture card is busted. I haven't been able to stream legitly in a long time, and I'm like going through withdrawals because I hate like playing games and not being able to share the experience with everyone, which is something I grew very fond of doing. But with that being said, hopefully we get a capture card soon, and we'll figure it out. Did the capture card just shit the bit? Yeah, it just does not. It just looks pixelated. It's beyond repair. It's destroyed. So with that being said, let's get to the Game Awards. This is coming December 8th, as you know, which is only Thursday. It's only Thursday, and we will be, and this is an announcement. I don't know if I made it before. I'm sure I did, but this is an announcement on December 8th at 8 o'clock or 7:30 possibly, when the Game Awards goes live on their Twitch or YouTube or whatever it may be. We will be live co-streaming that event on our channel. So if you want to watch with me and everyone else in the community, feel free to jump in, contribute to the conversation. We'll be talking about all the trailer drops, all the reward awards, and phone call. I think it's the wife, you guys. Hold up 1 second. I apologize. All right, chat. I apologize to everybody listening, and we'll just continue on. I had to take that phone call. Couldn't be missed. So anyways, December 8th, we will be watching live together, so please join me. And Jeff Keighley did say that the Game Awards will be shorter this year. The Game Awards will be shorter this year than they have in the previous years. Previous years, they've kind of been running a little long. Like last year felt like it just went on and on and on. It was like a little over 3 hours, I think. So, I mean, I remember this thing ending at like almost midnight. It was a little ridiculous. But he said this will be significantly shorter. So hopefully we don't kill quality with that much being cut, but we'll see. And Valve is giving away Steam Decks. They're giving away a bunch of Steam Decks during the Game Awards. So if you go to the Steam, you can sign up to the giveaway, and as you're watching, they'll be randomly drawing throughout the whole night. They'll be randomly drawing, and you can win a free Steam Deck, which is pretty cool. So you could check that out. So again, this is like around 7:30, 8 o'clock Eastern time. We will be live on the GGen channel. I might have other GGen members with me on the mic, or just with me in the chat. Either way, we'll be rocking it out and reacting and all that fun stuff. With that being said, Spider-Man 2 news came about. The voice actor for Venom, who, as you know, if you've watched the trailer that came out almost a year ago now, or a little over a year ago, Tony Todd, who is the Venom voice actor, has teased that the game is going to be epic, it's going to be action-packed, and he also went on to say it's going to resemble a lot of the first mission in Miles Morales, when you and Peter Parker, aka Spider-Man, are teaming up and chasing down Rhino, going through the mall and shopping areas and whatever. The game is going to feel a lot like that first mission, and I'm all for that. That sounds amazing. That first mission was perfect. Now, if they can mix it to where you're switching in between Miles and Spider-Man and using both of them, even better. I would imagine that's what they do. They wouldn't have you just play one single character while you have like a companion. I think they're going to switch you in and out of each character, depending on how the story goes. But if they do it in the style that was that first mission, like Tony Todd's telling you, then it's going to be a home run. This whole game is going to be a home run. And Insomniac knocks these games out of the park. Spider-Man 1 was amazing, Miles Morales was amazing, and now we have Spider-Man 2 and Wolverine coming from them, and God knows what other Marvel projects they have up their sleeves coming down the pipeline. They're building out their own gaming MCU, it seems, and I'm all for it. I am all for it. Give me everything from Insomniac Games. They know how to write a story. They know how to give you proper gameplay, and I'm excited. So the fact that we're getting Venom in this next game is awesome. We're getting Kraven the Hunter. You know, we went through all that, so I'm just excited about it. And it's cool to see Tony Todd being excited and being like, yo, this game's gonna be nuts. It's gonna be like that first mission when it was just craziness with you and Miles teaming up together. So that's exciting. It's promising. And there's not much else to say about that. So let's get onto something that's a little more surprising to me. Five says, sound like fun. Yeah, the Game Awards is going to be a good time. You should definitely check it out if you can. And yes, I have Elgato capture card. And so, yeah. I don't know how to approach this subject here. So, the Callisto protocol dropped, right? Then we had Need for Speed Unbound drop as well. And then we had a game that really pisses me off. A game that I don't understand why it's getting what it's getting. But Midnight Suns just dropped, not a couple days ago as well. Okay, so here's my problem. And it's not, so I'm going to get Unbound out of the way. Unbound is currently scored on Metacritic as a 81. And it is doing pretty well as far as the users go. Everywhere I look, everyone seems to be enjoying it. The game looks incredible. They really give you like a weird cartoony anime looking feel. Like you get the standard cars and stuff, but then all of a sudden you have like the animated smoke and, you know, weird effects and all the stuff. Like it looks like pop up art, like art, like boom boom. It's out of control. The coloring, all the colors are good. The art style is just crazy and interesting and different for Need for Speed. The game looks awesome and people are having fun with it, and I'm hoping the price drops soon, significantly soon, for that game, because I really want to check it out. I haven't really been excited for a Need for Speed game in a long time, and this is one that I'm truly intrigued by and excited to kind of play it at some point. So I hope the price drops soon. And that's getting an 81, which is a very good score on Metacritic. Here's my problem. Callisto Protocol, which is made by the developers who do Dead Space. Callisto Protocol has, you know, famous actors in the game. I think Josh Duhamel is the main character, if you know him from the Transformers movies and Las Vegas, the TV show, and many other movies and projects he's been a part of. I even think he was in a Call of Duty once, if I'm not mistaken. But that's not the point. The point is, the game has firepower, right? It has a developer who's made arguably one of the best games ever to be made in gaming, which is Dead Space. Dead Space is a goddamn masterpiece. I don't care what anybody says. That's a goddamn masterpiece of a game. This developer knows how to make horror style space thrillers, right? And that's exactly what Callisto Protocol. They didn't venture away from Dead Space, right? Granted, this is not Dead Space. However, it's very, very, very similar. They stayed in their comfort zone. Maybe that's to their detriment. I don't think so, because they were very good at it. So the fact that Metacritic is giving it a 76 Meanwhile, everyone I see playing the game is enjoying it. It looks amazing. The gore, the violence, the dark, shadowy corners and hallway, like, it just looks incredible. I don't know where the 76 is coming from. Now, they could be getting review bombed because I know it dropped a little glitchy on the PC side specifically from what I'm hearing, but what game doesn't drop? Like, we shouldn't be happy that, you know, how do I say this? It shouldn't be a norm to expect a game to be terrible at launch. And I'm not saying this game is terrible at launch. I'm saying there's some problems, I guess, that are happening. Some glitches, right? But I feel like we're all getting desensitized by it. And like, we're all getting used to it. Like, it's launch day glitches, whatever. Companies need to do a better job launching their games properly, especially when there's like delays and bullshit like that. Like, launch your game right. It's hard to just send out betas on a story game because you don't want to spoil anything. But you got to do more internal playtesting. Really figure this out. But to get a 76 on a game that should be pretty damn good from what I'm seeing is surprising. And then you have the Midnight Suns, right? It has an 83 score. Midnight Suns has an 83 score. Who the hell's enjoying this game? How many people still enjoy turn-based RPGs? Who still enjoys turn-based games or card games? Like, it's one thing to play a card game in person. I'm not trying to do that. One, I don't have the time to do it, because it takes forever to get through a fight when you're having to draw a card, hit somebody for plus 10 power, wait for your opponent to have his attack on somebody on your team or yourself. Then you have to wait for your team to go through their attacks. Then you draw another card that could be a little weaker, and then your card misses or your attack misses or doesn't do enough damage, and then you get hit, and then you gotta wait for your team to go. It's like, oh my god, bro, just let me punch the guy. Just let me punch him. I have superpowers. Let me punch the guy. This is a Marvel game. Let me punch him. Let me pick up a freaking light post and throw it at his face. How is this game getting an 83? It's beyond me. I don't know. I can't think that this game has a better story than Callisto Protocol. I don't even know if it would have a better story than Need for Speed Unbound. But here we are, in 83. I guess card games are a lot more popular than I thought, because goddamn, that looks boring as shit. No matter how good a cutscene will be, as soon as the playstyle starts and I have to draw cards and keep drawing, draw fours, do not pass go, eat my ass, like, I'm not about that. Not about any of that. So no thank you on Midnight Suns. That is a pass. That 83 score is bullshit off the jump. But shout out to the team, because I'm sure they're probably excited. But yeah, that's a no for me, dog. New. So that's my mini rant, or not mini rant, however you want to call it. But with other news, which is interesting news, there's rumblings of a Portal 3 coming. Now, I was never crazy about Portal, but they have a big following. They have a very big following, and Portal 3, I know, has been on people's minds for a long time. The problem, though, is the company that makes this game hates trilogies with a passion. this company, Valve, right? How long have we been waiting for a Half-Life 3? Since the 90s, right? It's been forever, bro. They just don't do it. Everybody wants it. They just don't do it. Portal 2 is where they stopped. Where's Portal 3? It never came. Now there's rumblings about it, but still, they stopped at 2. There was a couple other games that they had where they did direct sequels for, but never another. They stopped at the second game. They have zero trilogies. Zero trilogies on their in their library. So it's interesting to see Portal 3 is possibly on the way, because it's just not the norm for Valve to have a trilogy type of game come. So We'll see. I don't have faith, but we'll see what happens. Oh, Rules 11, welcome to the chat. I see you out there, bro. Appreciate you. Enjoy the show. We are just rocking along here. So yeah, Portal 3 is on the way. So they say. We'll see. Valve hates trilogies, but this seems very promising. Another irritating moment for me, okay? Battlefield 2042 apparently got a major update. Yo, Rules, appreciate the follow. Thank you. Welcome to the channel. What the hell? Okay, so let me start this, right? I appreciate the team not giving up. Who does this? DICE? I appreciate them not giving up on their game, because let's be real, they put a lot of money and effort into it. Now, games flop all the time. It happens. You had Call of Duty's flop. You have all kinds of games flop, right? So this was a major fail. Battlefield 2042 was a major fail. A year later, though, they're trying to come out. I guess the update just dropped, or it's coming out soon, and it's supposed to correct pretty much everything that's going on in 2042. It's the miracle patch, right? It's supposed to fix the game and then allow for future updates to blow everyone's minds, right? I feel like it's a little too late. You already stole people's money. A year has gone by. Nobody really cares about 2042 anymore. At least that's how I see it. If I bought 2042, which I'm glad I didn't, I'm not a fan of, I'm a fan of Battlefield stories, and this game did not have a story, right? So the fact that it was multiplayer only and they still had this much problems with it, it is alarming. So I'm glad I didn't spend the money for just a multiplayer experience that I would have hated and never played. And here we are over a year later and we're getting an update to fix the game, right? Again, credit to them for continuing and trying to, you know, repair their trust or their game relationship with their players. For me, and I'm sure for a lot of people, I feel like it's a little too late. I don't think it's gonna, sure, you're gonna get some people come back and check out the updates, but I think overall your player base is never gonna be that large, at least as large as you would want it to be. I just think a year has gone by. The damage is already done. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But we have some interesting news coming out of Microsoft and 343 Industries. I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know what is going on over there, but we have another member of 343 leaving. A lead developer for the Halo franchise's multiplayer, okay? Not just anyone. It's the lead developer for the multiplayer aspect of Halo. His name is Tom French. He is leaving 343 after 11 years or so on the job, right? Here's where it's interesting. He's following the head of design for Halo Infinite, the game as a whole, right? The head of design, Jerry Hook, and Bonnie Ross, the head of Halo of all, like the very top of the Halo, Bonnie Ross. She left, granted for, medical or family matters or whatever is happening in her life. So hopefully it's nothing too serious, but she left. Then Jerry Hook decides to leave, who's the head designer of the game. And now you have the head multiplayer developer leaving to go chase other avenues. Like, what is happening with 343? They're losing. Everyone is dry. All the bigwigs, all the people that champion and push the decision making from like the board, from the developer, from like their table talks, like they're the ones pushing the direction of the game, and they all left. So is this a good thing? I don't know. It could be. Maybe new heads of these departments will breathe some life and fresh air into the game. Maybe it will bring Halo closer back to its old glory of being one of the best multiplayer games to ever come out. Especially for Xbox. Or will this just be more Halo crashing and burning because there's really no leadership and no one riding the ship, right? Should 343 sell Halo? Should Microsoft? This will never happen. This is a hypothetical. Microsoft will never get rid of Halo. My mind would literally explode if this ever happened. But it would be great for the game itself if Microsoft sold the game to Sony, and specifically sold the game to Bungie. Bungie being a Sony studio now, under the Sony umbrella. This would shift Halo back. This would shift Halo to actually be developed by the team that actually made Halo and understands Halo and really came out with the best Halo version. Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3. They produced the best iterations of this franchise before they sold it to Microsoft when they left. They left Microsoft to branch off and do independent work and develop Destiny on their own and not have it be strictly to Microsoft, right? But that deal included them selling the rights to Halo to Microsoft. So would it be in the game's best interest for Microsoft to sell it back to Bungie? 100%. Halo would be turned around so fast and become one of the best games out there again with Halo, with Bungie controlling that. We would also get Halo on PlayStation, which would be dope for everybody. You enable crossplay between Xbox and PlayStation. You allow Halo to be cross-platform, cross-gen, cross-whatever. You don't steal it from Microsoft. You allow the game to stay there and coexist with it on PlayStation. You let Bungie control it. They knock everything out. They clean it up. They make Halo the way it's supposed to be. And you have now the Sony player base and the Xbox player base itching to play this new and improved version of Halo. And the multiplayer arena would explode. But Microsoft wouldn't do that. They're not going to sell their baby to their competitor. Even though it would probably increase their sales. Well, it would increase the game sales. It would increase the game's popularity and player base. By tripled, quadrupled, because the player base on PlayStation is much larger. Those are just facts. It would be better for the franchise and the fans, but Microsoft wouldn't do it. 343 is gonna drive Halo to the ground, and right now there's nobody at the wheel, so we'll see what happens. But I find it interesting, every head of certain departments involved with the game, they're slowly finding their way out the door. And it's strange. But we're going to leave the gaming verse and jump over to the entertainment verse. But we're still going to stick with gaming because we need to talk about a couple things here. Who watched The Last of Us trailer, the HBO Max show coming out, The Last of Us? Yo, appreciate that follow. Welcome to the channel. This trailer, if you missed it, me and Sparta Chris did a reaction. It is on our YouTube at GGN or GGE Network. Go watch that trailer and come back and listen here. But that trailer was incredible. The first trailer we got had zero dialogue. It was incredible. We got the feeling of, you know, the tension and like the stealthiness and being scared and hiding from clickers and the sound of the clickers and just the game sounds and everything was happening. And we had zero dialogue and it was still a phenomenal, amazing, exciting trailer, right? Thrilling. They dropped CCXP, by the way, CCXP happened and just gifted, like, threw a gift basket of trailers in our lap. Here we go. 1,000 trailers came out. I probably didn't even watch them all. I don't even know. I'm just going to try to go through some of the ones that I remember seeing. And first up was being The Last of Us. Like, holy hell. There was dialogue in this one. We got way more scenery. The town, you see the beginning town on fire, that what him, he's trying to escape in the beginning of the game. Like, you see the mall from the Left Behind DLC with Ellie roaming around the mall. Like, when they're on the roof and Ellie's walking across like planks to get to another building. The set pieces, like everything just looks incredible, dude. The game, the move, like the show just looks incredible. It looks and feels like the game would look and feel. Now we know from the trailer that, you know, Joel and Ellie are on an adventure or a mission, whatever you want to call it, to get to the West Coast to look for a cure, right? I'm hoping, I mean, Sparta's kind of talked about this, but I'm hoping we're not getting like the whole game in one season, because I feel like you would lose a lot of potential to really drag out areas of the game that you weren't able to really explore. you can go to a town and stay there a little longer than you did in a game and really like feed off of whatever drama is happening there, right? If we're just like zipping through and we're like boom, 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 we get to the finale and we're at the end of the first game, it'd be kind of a disappointment. I'm sure it'd be fantastic. I'm sure it'd be exciting and fantastic or whatever. It would be a little disappointing. The first game can literally, the first game took like 40 hours to beat. I don't even remember. It's not a short game. It's not the longest game I've played, but it's not a short game. Like, there's plenty of story to last more than a season is what I'm getting at. And there's stuff that you can add in, like I said, to drag things out or spread things out to really, you know, enhance the story and build off the environment and the characters and side characters and whatever else is going on. There's a lot to unpack. And I really hope that's what they do and we're not just zipping through game one. We're only getting like a two-season show of game one and two, right? That'd be disappointing because the more we get, the better. We got our first look at a bloater, and the bloater was Jesus. It was incredible looking. The costumes in this game, the people, first of all, the mannerisms of the people who are clickers and, you know, the infected and the bloaters, like they're nailing it to a T. And then the costume designers, I know some of it's CGI, but it looks like a lot is practical and costume and, you know, like that's somebody in a that clicker suit. That's somebody in a clicker suit, I feel like, with some CGI elements added to it. It looks so good, and the actors in them are doing such a fantastic job capturing how they were in the game. And again, the environments, the rundown cities and towns, and just like you're watching the trailer and you're like, oh, I remember that from the game. I remember that from the game. Like, it was an incredible trailer, and I can't wait for this show to come out. And shockingly enough, I think it comes out, what was it, January 15th? It's so soon. We're almost a month away from the show dropping. It's incredible. So I have a question, and we kind of talk about this on the theater room often, but I want to pose it to you guys. Are game adaptations turning the corner and becoming good? We've had Uncharted come out, which was a Sony. Well, so it's interesting. I'll get to this thought in a second. But Sega came out with the Sonic movie, Sonic 1 and Sonic 2. And they're wildly successful. The movies are fun. They're good movies. For live action Sonic, I mean, it thoroughly enjoyed those movies. And I like game adaptations don't normally are normally not good. Like, well, everything Resident Evil is pretty much trash, right? All things Resident Evil live action have been pretty bad. Like the Netflix show, I didn't watch it, but I hear it was garbage. The Netflix movie about Raccoon City, I hear it was decent, but nothing crazy. All the other random Resident Evil movies with Mila Jovovich, like those weren't even like the games. They were just random Resident Evil stories that they wanted to make. Resident Evil was just a disaster. But then you have the Mortal Kombat, like even the latest Mortal Kombat, which had good elements, but my God, that movie was not great. The main character was awful. I'm hoping the second movie is a lot better now that we're actually going to deal with the tournament, but it was not a great story. It was not a great movie. It just really wasn't. Some of the fights were okay, but they focused on a character nobody gives a shit about. It wasn't a good movie. So they really have been struggling with game adaptations coming to the big screen or TV, right? So now we go from all, you know, the crap, and then we get to the Sonic games or the Sonic movies, and it's like, all right, got some solid game. We got some solid movies here. Detective Pikachu. Not the greatest movie, but fun, entertaining, live action Pokemon. All right, we got something going here. Uncharted. I would have picked somebody else other than Tom Holland, but let's be real, he did a great job. Mark Wahlberg was good. The movie was good. We have a solid game movie from Uncharted. Now we have The Last of Us coming on HBO Max, which is going to be gory. It's going to be messed up. It's going to screw with your head. It's going to be sad. There's not going to be a lot of happy moments in the show, I'll tell you that much. Like, this story is dark and terrible in the best way. So don't expect something that's going to be like lighthearted. No, the show's going to offer a lot of death. You're going to enjoy characters that are just going to be gone in a blink of an eye. Like, just ride the wave with us all and enjoy it, but don't get attached. My point is, this is really looking to continue on this trend of game adaptations being good. Sony's also putting money into Horizon Zero Dawn. Live action Horizon. We're getting a live action God of War. We're getting a live action. What's the other thing? I'm drawing a blank. Ghost of Tsushima. We're getting, like, Sony is really putting a ton of effort into giving us true game adaptations on the big screen on their HBO Max or whatever platform they're choosing. We have Halo. Halo wasn't fantastic, but it had elements of greatness. So I give them credit there. I enjoyed Halo more than I've enjoyed Resident Evil, I'll tell you that much. As stupid as some of the things in Halo were. But it's still, you know, we're in an upward trend of getting good game adaptations coming to life. And on the animated side, we have Sonic Prime coming, right? We have, now check this one out. We got a new one for you that I just heard about this today. We have Toe Jam and Earl coming, being produced by Steph Curry. Yes, the basketball player Steph Curry. He has a production company, and he's working with Amazon Prime to produce a Toe Jam and Earl movie or series on Amazon. How the hell does that happen? Who the hell randomly was like, you know what? Let's do Toe Jam and Earl. I guess Steph Curry was the one that did that. Like, eh, I love Toe Jam and Earl. Let's make a cartoon. And he just calls Amazon. That's insane. Toe Jam and Earl. When was the last Toe Jam and Earl game that come out? How long ago was that? My God. I don't even know what they're going to do in that show. That's going to be so interesting. I'm going to watch the hell out of that, but I don't even know what to expect. That's supposed to be so interesting. And I'm more shocked that Steph Curry has a production company. I guess I shouldn't be. He is in California, and it seems like everyone in California has a production company at this point. But it's just not something you would think of happening with Steph Curry, right? Just randomly puts out a Toe Jam and Earl. Like, outside of Steph Curry, who the hell is thinking about Toe Jam and Earl? It's been friggin' years. So I found that to be insane. I just wasn't expecting that at all. I have a question for you guys, and let me know in the comments or the chat or wherever else. Feel free to hashtag MVP18. Actually, no. Let's do hashtag GGen MVP18. GGen MVP18, hashtag GGen MVP18. If you're listening and you want to hashtag me out on Twitter, do that. And I'll see if I get questions that I can answer, maybe I'll do it on the next episode. But my question to you, yo, Dorian, what's up? Welcome to the channel. My question to you is, should Star Wars do special presentations like Marvel's doing? My answer is yes, because the special presentations have been fantastic. The holiday special with Guardians of the Galaxy, granted I had some issues with it, but overall it was a fun experience. My biggest problem with it, I'll just let you know, was it was too short. It should be an hour long, like a legitimate hour. Like, don't give me something that's 42 minutes long and call it an hour special. Like, then, you know, most of its credits, right? It was very short, and which was my biggest complaint. However, Star Wars should follow Marvel in this and actually do specials. How cool would it be to get a holiday special for anything, really? Anywhere in the galaxy, you can create something to be like a special. The thing is, we don't know what, at least I don't, or I'm forgetting. We don't really know what holidays anyone celebrates in the Star Wars world, right? So the thing with Marvel is, you know, there's Christmas exists, Easter exists, Halloween exists, right? We don't know what exists in the Star Wars world, at least I don't. So how it would have to be like, if it's something lighthearted and funny, maybe you release that special around Christmas, right? If it's something dark, like, I don't know, some crazy Halloween Vader murder spree, right? Or some Sith murder spree. Give me an hour of Darth Maul just murdering people or whatever, right? Some thriller. You can have a crazy, like, black and white thriller with a Sith Lord just murdering people and having to fight a random like Jedi or rebel or whatever, right? That would be cool, man. That would be a cool little hour thing for Halloween. You can make it work. So I don't know. I feel like Star Wars should start doing that. They should start tapping into the special presentations, because what, you can make it work. There's something. You put anything out and people are going to watch it, but there's something special, no pun intended, something special about these special presentations. Like, they're just a good time, and it's an interesting way to show you a different side or a different element to either a current character or a new character that may be coming up in a future series or season of something, you know? That's just my opinion on it, but I would love to know what you guys think. Let me know in the comments. Shoot me that hashtag GGenMVP18 and let me know what you think about it. Next up, speaking of Marvel and Guardians of the Galaxy, that's Transformers, so we'll skip that for now. And did I not have... I didn't put the picture there. I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan, Dorian says. I get that. I get that completely. It's just one of those things. It's Star Wars. It's like Star Trek, Star Wars, like stuff like it's either you like it or you don't. There's really no in between. So I get it. For me, I love the Star Wars world, and everything that they're doing on Disney Plus has been a home run. The movie side of it has really been pretty bad lately. The latest trilogy was terrible, in my opinion, except for The Force Awakens, the first one. But where the movies fail, Disney Plus is enhancing. And I feel like it's kind of like the opposite with Marvel. A lot of the shows to me are failing, in my opinion. And the movies are trying to pick up the slack, but they're also kind of struggling. Because I just feel like on the Marvel side, they're doing too much. Where on Star Wars, they're doing just TV right now. There's no movie in sight yet. So they're just, you know, focusing on the task at hand rather than a million things at once. I can watch them, but they don't get me excited. I get you, man. I get you. But what was I gonna say? So the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 trailer, I thought I had the picture up for them, but apparently I don't. That the trailer was, one, it was funny. Two, has me really freaking nervous about Rocket Raccoon. I feel like, and me and Wade Poole did a reaction to this, it's on our YouTube. It seems like Rocket Raccoon, just his dialogue throughout the whole trailer, it seems like Rocket Raccoon is going down swinging, but the problem is he's going down. Like, it just seems this is the end of Rocket's story, and it's not going to be a happy ending per se, because he's dying, right? It seems like he's going to die. It seems like Groot is going nuts and ballistic and wants to kill everybody. Drax wants to kill everybody. I mean, that's Drax in general, but with a purpose this time. A lot of the scenes that they showed was missing Rocket, which was interesting. So it's hard. This is the final Guardians of the Galaxy movie that they're doing with the original team. So it's hard to get excited when you know it's the end, right? It's like it's being super excited to see a series finale, and then when it's over, you're just sad. You're just sad. You're like, well, I'm never going to watch that again. Like, new stuff from it, right? Drax is gone. I don't know about Gamora or Nebula or Mantis. I don't know about any of them. There's going to be some type of Guardians of the Galaxy team down the road, and you can't have a Guardians team without Peter Quill. So I feel like Chris Pratt's going to hang around in some way, but it seems like Rocket's dying. And if Rocket dies, I don't know if Groot's going to hang around. It's just hard to tell, man. Drax is probably one of the best MCU characters out. He's funny. He beats ass. Like, he's awesome. He's one of my favorite characters. You have Iron Man, Spider-Man, and Drax, right? Like, he just kicks ass. He's just a funny dude. Batista knocks that role out of the park. But he was hilarious in the holiday special. And he just continues on with the trailer that we got for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Just funny. Throws a dodgeball on a little kid's face, like, and just laughs. It's just funny. He's a funny dude. But it seems very bittersweet because I'm excited for the movie, but I know a lot's ending with it. So, and it's also James Gunn's final hurrah with Marvel as he takes on his role with writing the DC mess that's going on over there, as he's now the new head of DC Studios, or the DC Universe, if you want to call it, which I think he is calling it. So it's a lot of closure and endings with this group of characters. And I don't know. Trailer was cool. It was fun, but it was also a little bittersweet and sad because it seems like something's going to happen that is going to really hit us hard in the theater. So we'll see. What's also going to hit us hard in the theater, and that's full of excitement, is Beast Wars. Transformers Rise of the Beasts. Now, if you missed our reaction, me and Wade Poole did a reaction on this as well, because it was, like I said, it was like a gift basket of trailers that dropped this past weekend. This movie looked insane. What I knew this movie was coming out. I didn't know how they were going to incorporate. So I feel like Transformers is pretty easy to do with cars, because when they're not transformed, you can just have them be a car, right? You don't need special effects for them to be a car. But when Beast Wars are here, they're not just animals. They're literally robot animals. Like, you see them as robots. Like, if you look at the picture on YouTube and Twitch, it's a robot gorilla. It's not just a gorilla, it's a robot gorilla, right? With the Transformer cars, they're just a car when they transform, right? So I feel like I didn't know what to expect and how the robot animals would look in their beast form. But what we got from Cheetor and Optimus Primal and the way they transform, and like, oh my God, just the way they look. They still have like armor and hair, and they still look like Optimus Prime still looks like a gorilla, but he's clearly oh my God, it looks so good. And to incorporate that with the OG Transformers, so you have the cars and the beasts, and there's some colliding story happening where you need all the Autobots and the Maximals to fight probably Predacons and Decepticons. Like, there's some sort of giant war that's about to happen. Will this giant war wipe out the Earth and just the Beast Wars will be left standing? Because the cartoon was like just very empty, where it was just them, right? They're on Earth by themselves. It was just animals and them, right? This movie has people. They're in modern cities. Like, it's all current time, right? They have the other Transformers here. So I'm very curious how this all comes about. And Michael Bay is not directing this one. So this is from the Bumblebee people. So that's exciting. Bumblebee was a great movie. I would like to see. Hell yeah. I don't know if you mean Guardians of the Galaxy or Transformers Rise of the Beasts, but yes to both. So yeah, I'm super excited. I was a big fan of Beast Wars growing up as a kid. I actually liked them a little better than the original Transformers, so don't hate me, but you know what? It is what it is. I just loved it. I don't know. The CGI, you look back on the CGI, it doesn't really carry over for today. It's not great. But I love the characters, man. Just their banter between each other, and like seeing Megatron as a T-Rex. Yeah, like just stuff like that. Oh my God, man. Just brings back memories. So I'm super excited for this movie. I can't wait to see what kind of craziness happens. And yeah. I'm super. I didn't get this one either, did I? No, I didn't. All right. Well, so I thought I had a picture of this, but so another trailer coming is Jack, well, this trailer dropped, but the season three of Jack Ryan, having trouble talking here. Season three of Jack Ryan is coming December 21st. You don't hear anything about this show forever. They randomly drop a trailer like a month or two ago, and now the show's out in a couple weeks. It's like, oh, okay. All right, I guess. Don't get me wrong. I'm excited for it because Jack Ryan, which if you don't know or haven't seen Jack Ryan, it's on Amazon Prime. John Krasinski is the main character. He is a CIA agent that gets sent out to do some crazy shit, and it's a wild ride, and the acting is fun and good, and the action's good and fun, and it's a good show, man. I highly recommend it. If you got nothing, even if you got like something to watch, I definitely recommend adding it to your library. But if you're bored of what's out there and you need something new, I 100% recommend Jack Ryan. It's a Tom Clancy story. So if you're fans of Tom Clancy games, it's another reason to jump on board. But yeah, this is season three. They were delayed heavily because of COVID, and it looked like the show was never going to get made again. And now season three is right around the corner. So the trailer dropped for that, and it looks good. It wasn't a long trailer or a big trailer, but it showed, you know, all the main players are back. And it looks like they're after Jack Ryan. Like the CIA is going after Jack Ryan rather than working for them. So I kind of forgot how season two ended because it's literally been a few years, but I'll have to like rewatch the ending of season two to kind of understand where we left off. But it seems like the CIA is going after their own agent for whatever reason. And yeah, it's gonna be a wild ride. It should be fun. And now we have Justice U, which is actually the picture that I have up. Justice U, John Diggle, David Ramsey. He's one of my favorite people. He's an awesome actor. Him as John Diggle in the Arrowverse and the show Arrow and Flash and everything else. He's a recurring role as John Diggle. And they tease him a million times to be the Green Lantern. He's a variant of Jon Stewart, apparently, as they tell you when crisis happens and stuff like that in the crossovers. So there's a lot going on with John Diggle, and they keep teasing things, right? And the last thing we see from John Diggle is, I think, might have been the end of the last Flash season, which, by the way, Flash is starting up in February. The final season of The Flash on CW is starting in February. So that's going to be bittersweet because Grant Gustin is the best version of Flash that we have on live action right now. Ezra Miller's a disaster. So I'm hoping with this show ending, somehow James Gunn convinces Gustin to take over the main Flash in the movie side. But we'll see what happens. With that being said, they teased John Diggle kind of refusing the Green Lantern ring, right? I thought it was because they were just wrapping up the Arrowverse. Like the Flash is ending, Stargirl ended, Arrow's gone, League of Legends of Tomorrow's gone. Supergirl's gone, Batwoman's gone, all the Arrowverse shows are gone, Black Lightning's gone, the only one left is the Flash, which is leaving, right? Stargirl literally just ended. So it's interesting and strange to me that Justice U is still coming, which is John Diggle is basically taking a team of young metahumans, and he's going to be training them and teaching them while they go to school. It's literally a Justice University, right? Just metahuman kids learning in college or whatever. And while they're in college, they're also learning how to deal with their abilities, learn with their abilities, whatever their abilities are, and become like superheroes and whatever, right? That's pretty much the premise of what this show is going to be. John Diggle is going to be the one guiding them and teaching them, because he's been around every superhero in the universe at this point. So it makes sense. I hope they don't just keep teasing the Green Lantern thing. Either close the door or fully open it and let him be the Green Lantern. He deserves to be the Green Lantern. He would be a great Jon Stewart if they continue with that. But Justice U is it's an interesting show because it's being ran by Greg Berlanti, which is, you know, the birth of the Arrowverse. He controlled the Arrowverse, or is controlling it, whatever. So the fact that this is Greg Berlanti, and I think this is going on CW again, which CW is no longer part of Warner Brothers, which means it's no longer part of DC. I don't know why they would still put this show on CW at this point, but that's neither here nor there. It just doesn't make sense. I don't know why this show is still coming, and I'm glad Diggle's finally going to get a show of his own. But I know it's a Greg Berlanti show, but I truly hope that this is part of James Gunn's plans, because it seems like something he could really thrive in, having a group of random metahumans to teach. Right? Like, just a group of metahumans that no one's heard of learning how to use their powers, with John Diggle being like their mentor, right? It seemed like something that would be cool for James Gunn to champion, but this is a Greg Berlanti project, so I don't know if it still falls under the DC James Gunn umbrella, or was this already contracted to happen before the deal? I really don't know how that all happens, because why would it be on the CW? Why would James Gunn want to continue the Arrowverse after they are legitimately killing the Arrowverse? So I really don't know. It's hard to say what's happening here, but for David Ramsey as an actor, I'm happy he's getting a crack at doing his own thing as John Diggle, because he crushes that role. And we have something similar coming. Gen V. Now, if you don't know what Gen V is, it's basically Justice U, but the boys, now that I'm thinking about it. Gen V is going to be a group of superheroes, they're not superheroes yet, I guess. There are a group of kids in college with superpowers. They're in college and they're, figuring out they have abilities, and they're trying to deal with controlling their abilities and all that stuff. It looks like A-Train shows up, and like some Vought, the Vought CEO from the Seven. So like, it looks like some of the main characters from The Boys is crossing over to Gen V, but this is very much a Justice U type of story, where it's just a group of college kids with superpowers trying to learn how to deal with that. But here's the thing. The CW Justice U is not going to show us nearly what the Gen V Amazon Prime show is going to show us. This show is going to be brutal. It's going to be gory. you're gonna get all kinds of... Well, college kids, you're probably gonna get Herogasm 9000. Like, this show is gonna be probably bonkers. So who knows? We got like a first look from it, so it kind of showed A-Train and all of them, but it wasn't like a really big trail, long trail. I think it was only like a minute long. So hopefully we get something more, and I don't remember seeing a date on that. And lastly, we have Dodgeball 2. There's some things floating around where Dodgeball 2 might happen. If you know me personally, Dodgeball is one of my favorite comedies to ever come out. Like, first of all, we don't get comedies like we used to. The old school Ben Stiller movies, old school Will Ferrell movies, literally old school. We don't get those comedies. I don't know what the hell we get nowadays. Comedies are strange. They're not really comedies. They're just like weird woke humor or something. I really don't know what we get nowadays. But Dodgeball 2 coming would be phenomenal. Now, Vince Vaughn, I guess, said he's been toying with the idea of Dodgeball 2 for a while. He has some ideas that would make sense to come back and do these characters again. And he did say that it looks like Ben Stiller is on board, which would be phenomenal to see the two of them come back. Ben Stiller, the last we saw in Dodgeball, was he got fat. He blamed Chuck Norris and got fat. So... do we get to see Ben Stiller getting back in shape? Maybe Ben Stiller's an average Joe customer now, and he gets back in shape and he does a power play, or maybe they join forces for some other gym that comes. Who knows? But I can't wait. I really hope this does happen, because it would be a breath of fresh air in a comedy genre that desperately needs a good comedy, in my opinion, because we haven't had one in a long time. It will be a pretty good movie. Yeah, I mean, listen, comedies are never great movies. They're just always fun and funny. So I don't know, man. I can't wait. I hope it happens. Dodgeball 1 is a classic, and I wonder if they would get a lot of the cast back, or they would get new people as new members of Average Joe's or whatever. So we'll see. But yes, yeah, so that's going to do it, man. That was a lot to get through. I think that was over an hour and a half worth of topics. So I appreciate you all rocking with me, Dorian Flylife, O'Rules, Butters. Everybody listening on the podcast and channels, listening on YouTube, watching. Thank you. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button. Tell your friends. We do have a giveaway going on right now. If you look on our YouTube, the link is in our post. We have a post. I'll even put it in the description as well. But, join the giveaway. It's a chance to win $75 before the holidays for video games. You get a Steam gift card, a chance at a Steam gift card, Xbox gift card, or PSN gift card. The winner will choose which of the three they want. So feel free to join. Thank you for listening. This was Multiversal Podcast episode 18. I am Scythex. I appreciate you. Tomorrow we have the Theater Room podcast, which will be, breakdowns of other entertainment topics and shows and ideas and genres and everything on the entertainment side, TV and movies and whatever. So that's coming tomorrow at 8:30. Stay tuned. make sure the notifications are live so you can get the emails and the invites and all that good stuff. And yeah, Gen Nation, we'll see you next time. Peace.